I'm Bernard Joins, and we are preparing a series of lessons on the greatest question of the ages. The question is, what must I do to be saved? The answer is clearly stated in the Scriptures. There's no one simple answer to this, but there are certain things that one must do, one must believe, in order to be saved. And I shall devote most of my time to noticing what the Scripture has to say rather than making lengthy comments upon the Scripture. One of the answers is in John 8 and verse 32, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." In John 17:17, he says, "Thy word is truth." In order for a person to know what to do, the truth has to be taught, whether one reads it from the Scripture for themselves or whether it is preached. And God committed the preaching of His Word to His disciples and those that were to come after the disciples, in order that people might be able to hear that what the Lord would have one to do to be saved and to believe and obey the truth. In the Old Testament, we find God's instruction being given to the people, and the principle is the same, even though that we do not obey the same thing today that they obeyed in the Old Testament, because we're not under that law, but we're under the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, in Romans 8, verses 1 and 2. But in the Old Testament, he said, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is the servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." From Psalms 19, verses 7 through 14. And if one cannot hear the will of God, the word, the truth, then one would not know that Christ invites people to come to him in order that they might be saved. He said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Matthew 11, verses 28 through 30. Then he raises this question, which should cause us all to think, "And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built a house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man which without a foundation built a house upon the earth, against which the storm did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruins of that house was great." Luke 6, verses 46 through 49. Again from Luke 11 and verse 23, "He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth." How would we know these great truths if they could not be taught. And if they were not taught, if they were not preached, so that people could hear, believe, and obey them. You will note that the Lord stressed the doing of His will. But if you don't know what His will is, how can you do it? That's the reason why the Lord says that one must hear in order to establish faith. But He said, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by Him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. In Acts 4, verses 10 through 12. Again, he emphasizes that Jesus is the one who is the Savior, and we must hear what the Savior has to say. In the second chapter of John, there is a very simple fact of truth that is revealed by the mother of Christ. When at the wedding feast in Cana, she told the people, whatsoever he saith unto thee, do it. Now that is a principle that will stand for time, and well, as long as time lasts here upon the earth, that will never go out of date. Whatever the Lord says, do it. But you have to hear what the Lord has to say in order to do it. In Acts 17, verse 11, he said, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and searched the Scriptures daily, whether those things were so. And so should we, even today. Don't take someone else's word for what God has said, but listen to them. Let them reason, and you reason with them. But be sure you turn to the Scripture and make sure that it was God's word that they were teaching and not a human opinion. In 1 Corinthians 2, verses 1 through 5, Paul said, and I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ, Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of God, but in the power of God. We realize that as we hear His word even today, that it is designed to create faith within us. For faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, in Romans 10 and verse 17. Paul penned these words to the Philippian church in the second chapter in verse 12. He said, wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. But the emphasis here is placed upon the word obeyed. When they heard, they believed and obeyed. In 2 Timothy 2:15, we are instructed to study. And we are to study for the purpose of showing ourselves approved to God. That's the reason why we study. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. In 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, he said that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. In James 1, verse 21, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. If you don't hear the word, you won't know what to do. In 1 Peter 3 and verse 15, But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear. The entire Bible is given by inspiration of God, even though He did make a new covenant with us that is different from the covenant that He made with Moses and the children of Israel. But even that was given by the instruction or guidance of God. In 2 Peter 1, verses 20 and 21, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. So no Scripture is of any private interpretation. It is God's will revealed to us clearly, plainly, and simply, so that we can all understand and be saved. In 1 John 3 and verse 22, he said, whatsoever we ask of him, we receive, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Notice the two things that he emphasizes here in order for our prayers to be answered. First of all is to keep his commandments, and second is to do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Scripture says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. 1 John 5 and verse 13. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me. In Revelation 3 and verse 20. Now, some of these scriptures that we have noted today are instructions to those who are not the children of God, telling them that they need to hear the word in order to create faith. And then there are other passages of scripture that are given the word of God, instructing God's children what must be done in order for them to continue in an obedient, saved condition in the sight of God. But it all has to do with hearing the Word of God. Do you study your Bible? Have you heard the Word of God? Is the will of God a top priority in your life and obedience to it? I certainly hope so. But if we've noted today, the emphasis has been entirely upon hearing and obeying what God has to say. And our next lesson in this series will deal with the subject of faith. And we hope that you will continue to listen to this radio station so that you won't miss any of the lessons that we will present on what must I do to be saved.